I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Football. Energy drinks. Beer. More football. Welcome to Bink at Night.
And welcome to Bink at Night. I'm Jay Binkley, along with Kramer. The Crame Dog. The studio still smells of Pete. Pete Sweeney, Arrowhead Pride. He's got a big birthday this weekend, so he's going out to celebrate tonight. Usually, Pete hangs around with me for a little bit, but he's kind of big-time me, you know? That's all right. We can deal without Pete. I've got his guy, Craig Stout, coming on at 8 o'clock. 7:30, my guy, Nick Bromberg, that you guys like talking college football from Yahoo Sports, covers college football and NASCAR. Clearly, some things to discuss with one Nick Bromberg. Wheel of whatever comes your direction around 8:45 tonight. That's reselect what Pete and I,
You're calling me Pete now.
Kramer and I end up doing
Are we
for
friends
dinner.
Now?
We're friends.
Are you sure? You call me Pete.
Hey, shout out to Mama Locas down there in Ash Grove, Missouri.
Yeah, for real.
They listen to the show and Wheel of Whatever. It's a ways away. Come in and tell them what the Wheel of Whatever was, the food item that we select to eat, and you go and get some good stuff. So much appreciated from those guys down there. You hear about Pat Mahomes there, Kramer? He's going to go, man.
He's going to go. You know he's going to go. He wanted to go last week. He wanted to go back in Denver. What do you mean?
He wanted to go. He was dancing on stage. I don't know if you saw that video that Vern tweeted out, at Josh Vernier 610 tweeted out earlier, you know, dancing on the stage, showing his confidence in his knee.
He's trying to rub it in people's faces that he's fine.
Nah, I'm with it, man. Scare him. He scares the opponents. You got to hear the way they were talking about him in Tennessee. It's all they talk about. The magic. They've been talking about Mahomes. He hasn't played since October 17th. But any opponent the Chiefs play, they talk about the magic of Pat Mahomes. I'll bring you some of that. What's Tannehill say about him? What's Mike Vrabel saying about him? We'll get to that here in just a second. But Pat Mahomes, the injury report came out today. Full participant in practice, which is a big deal that he's full participant because he's been limited 2 weeks ago. He was listed as out on Friday. This week he was questionable when it came to Friday. But Ian Rappaport tweets out from NFL Network, you know, one of the guys in the know, Glazer, Rappaport, Adam Schefter. He tweets out, hello, Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes' knee was full participant in practice today. Indication he's good to go this week. My man Pete Sweeney, arrowheadpride.com. I always get a percentage from him just to have a little bit of fun. He says 95%, so that's definitely higher up than he usually is. Eric Fisher, Alex Okafor, did not practice on this Wednesday. As a matter of fact, the limited practice participants, Kendall Fuller, limited practice, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, limited practice, Frank Clark with that neck, limited practice as well, Fisher Okafor, the only two not practicing, Cole Kwidhenne, Ivy, Chris Jones, and Patrick Mahomes, all full participants in practice today. So much so, Mike Vrabel was on the conference call with the local Kansas City media. Does he expect Mahomes to play? His comment, plus full media laughter.
Yeah, I think so. How much? Pretty good jump there at the end of the game. He got a pretty good air burp.
There you go. Had to include the media laugh. Mike Vrabel, he's talking about the jump at the end of the game when Butker drills that field goal. Pat Mahomes is ready to go out and see him right there. Andy Reid was asked to talk about Mahomes. Here's kind of his interaction today when he did his conference call today about the availability of Patrick Mahomes. Keep in mind, this is done right before practice.
Yeah, we're going to see with a little bit more and just see how he works, you know, and how he handles it. And then we'll go from there. You know, Rick and his crew have done a good job of monitoring. Patrick's been honest with him and shot him straight. He obviously wants to play. I mean, that's him. He's wanted to do that since 20 minutes after it happened. So we just got to see, not only today when he works, but how he wakes up with it in the morning. So I just think it's, you know, it's day to day. We'll get both guys ready to go, and we'll, like we did last week, and we'll be we'll take it from there, see how it all works.
And what has Rick and his staff kind of told you what they need to see to say that he's good to go? Because you're kind of leaving it up to them. So what are they?
Yeah, well, the doctors, they're involved. We've had experts look at it, so we're not the experts. I'm not the expert for sure. And so now it's a matter of just going through and doing it. That's what it's, it's been increases work level, see how he handles it, and that's where we're at. And so we'll monitor it, Rick will, and we'll just see how he does. I mean, there's just there's no answer right now for it. That's what's real, and we go with it. So,
Henning's up now, just to confirm, it'd be Matt, if not Matt.
Yeah, it'll be Matt.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Now Henny's available too. So, we got a good situation there because I have a lot of trust in Henny. Likewise. So it's that's a good situation.
How important, Andy, is the 3-week mark in terms of Patrick's injury? Not being re-injured.
Yeah. So they put time. I don't know who puts all the times on it, but you keep checking it and rechecking it and talking with the kid. And there's a whole communication process that goes on with it. Everybody heals different, and we're not going to put him out there unless he's safe to do it. But he's got to work. He's got to go through this work level and see. And keep increasing it and see how he does. That's where we're at.
So there's Andy Reid today on Patrick Mahomes. And, of course, the injury report came out later today from the Kansas City Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes, full participant in practice. I do expect him to play. Matt Moore, though, did hold the press conference for the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, keep in mind, this is done before practice. Usually they trot out the starting quarterback because, obviously, nobody wants to hear from Matt Moore. Because they want to hear from Pat Mahomes. Now, there was clearly a lot to talk about the last game, the success that he had with 275 yards passing. There is some interest there in Matt Moore, but it comes down to Patrick Mahomes. I mean, this guy instills fear on the opponents. Not only that, can you imagine Pat Mahomes kind of with this new identity of this Kansas City Chiefs defense? This defense has been incredible. We'll talk to Craig Stout, defensive film analyst from Arrowhead Pride, coming up at 8 o'clock. But Craig put out a real good piece, arrowheadpride.com. Said, for the second time this year, Steve Spagnuolo's defense had a success rate greater than 60% in every quarter of a game. The 2018 Chiefs defense didn't achieve that even once. In 2018, the defense had a 50% success rate for an entire game only once against the Arizona Cardinals in Week 10. We've seen progression from this defense, and I was hesitant to go all in on this defense because I wanted to see four quarters. Denver was outstanding. They got Joe Flacco essentially to quit on the football field. They were relentless. 9 quarterback sacks in that game is a thing of beauty. And we would have talked about the defense, I think, a lot more had it not been for knee talk knee with Pat Mahomes. That became the biggest story. But I told Pete during the postgame show, I said, this is shame. This is shame because this defense is worthy of talking about. Could they back it up? Well, this past weekend against Minnesota, it's a really good team. Third best offense in the NFL. Trotting out the offensive player of the month in the NFC in Kirk Cousins. Third leading rushing team in the NFL with Dalvin Cook going 160 yards a game does the Minnesota Vikings go. Not only that, Dalvin Cook, the leading rusher in the National Football League. They shut him down. The only viable weapon the Vikings had at any point was taken advantage with the Chiefs had the slower linebackers in there to stop the run. Against Green Bay, it was a different story. Defense played well. 5 sacks in that game, the game before it. 9 against Denver, 5 against Green Bay. 14 sacks in a 2-game span. Changed their identity. Mike Zimmer, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, even talked about it before the week. Maybe this defense is finding their identity. Kirk Cousins was asked a ton of questions about the Chiefs' relentless pass rush. Now they started rush 4, didn't want to put themselves vulnerable against the Vikings, but they got the job done, and it was good to see. But remember that Green Bay game? I was hesitant to go all in on the defense, even though I'd seen signs of progression. This defense was getting better. But the fact remains that last 5 minutes of the game, Green Bay got the football at the 1-yard line that should have been noise time. It should have been danger at Arrowhead Stadium, but they ran, they ran, they ran, timeout, run, 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 timeout. And then eventually Aaron Rodgers just had to complete one pass to win that game. Instead of Aaron Rodgers beating the Kansas City Chiefs, it was the running game. So they're almost there, you know, 75 to 80% there. But that final 20% of that game, the final 5 minutes, was not good as far as the defense. Last week I felt they put it together. He even just rushing forward, just getting the one sack, didn't matter, stopped the running game. Again, the Vikings actually average more yards per game than the Kansas City Chiefs. A lot of people don't realize that. That Vikings team was good, despite the skull chance where they take their arms over their heads and do it. It was a good win by the Kansas City Chiefs. Best win of the year. I do think the Vikings are right there. And yes, they stood up toe-to-toe to Aaron Rodgers. But how much stock are we going to put into that? Because this weekend, the Green Bay Packers went out to L.A. to play the Chargers in that soccer stadium and only managed to have 184 yards compared to 422 against the Chargers in front of a decidedly Green Bay Packers crowd. That's all it was that was there. Chargers play in front of visiting fans all the time. There's even rumors about them maybe moving to London. Their owner says no, but he said no before about moving to L.A. Where are they at? They're in L.A. They're going to play in the Rams Stadium. Again, it's renting a garage above your parents' bedroom. It's the Chargers. They need to be moved. It's a bad situation. Props to the Raiders for going to Vegas, creating a new stadium, getting that atmosphere. They did it the right way. They're going somewhere where they're wanted. But regardless, defense did stand up the last couple of games. Some on the national media scene think the Chiefs team can run the table. Tony G, ring a bell, Colin Cowherd. They're all in on this. Look at the schedule. They might be able to do it. We discuss that next.
Bing at Night.
Love those interviews, by the way. Check them out on demand, 610sports.com. Fesco in the Morning, the Chiefs anniversary interviews. Great stuff. I like stories. So one thing I've always liked is baseball stories. Because baseball players have a ton. Because they're on the road and at home. I mean, 162 games a year. A lot of time for stories. But football stories, love them just as well. Go to 610sports.com, 435 Podcast Network. I do one with the Chiefs called the Football and Barbecue Podcast.
It's really good.
Thank you, Kramer. Checks in the mail. Bobby Bell was my first one. Bill Moss, this last one. Check him out. Download. It's a lot of fun. It's different. I wanted to do something that was different. I wanted to get people in their element. So if they throw a few curse words out or whatever, it's fine. It's on a podcast. But I want natural reaction. It's not like an interview, like over the phone or on the radio show. It's just sitting down, slobbing on some burnt ends, hence the barbecue, and telling football stories. Check out the latest one with Bill Moss. Dude was married to Dan Marino's sister, played with Brett Favre. He had to deal with everything in between the Kansas City Chiefs, trotted out there, the 87 player strike, the Frank Gans revolt that the players had. But it's all there on the 435 Podcast Network. From the Protein House, Eat with a Purpose text line, 69306. Feel free to chime in anytime you want to, or give us a call, 913-576-7610. For the 913, Binkley, talk more about how Casey coaching legend could have his last game this Friday. Coach Tony Severino. Yeah, absolutely. You know, Coach Sev, he's one of the nicest guys in the business. What he's done at Rockers, what, 7 state titles there, been to a few others, what, a couple others, runner-up. Unbelievable legend, and just as nice of a person as he is a great football coach. But Rockhurst, this Friday in the playoffs, last week, a nice 17-14 victory over Lee Summit. Play Liberty North. Liberty North, Greg Jones, friend of the show. Greg Jones has turned Liberty North around. They are a power, an undefeated power. Rockhurst, no slouches themselves at 7-3 this year. Liberty North, undefeated. So up-and-comer like Greg Jones, it's got a couple state titles under his belt from Kearney. Love this game. Love this game because Rockhurst, they show up and play this year. I mean, they are built for this time of year when the weather gets a little colder. And Coach Sev, one of the best in business, one of the best that I've ever covered as far as being a nice man, willing to share his football knowledge and information. But it's great. Here's another one. Hello, Jay. I'm of the opinion the Chiefs are bringing back Pat Mahomes too soon in search of a ring. The team is not doing him any kind of long-term justice. From Pam. Disagree, Pam. If he's ready to play, he can play. Have you seen him dance around on the video? Dude's ready to play. See what he's doing after Harrison Butker? I get it. We sit back here and look at it and say, you know, he needs to sit out. The problem is They've got really extensive medical training personnel. You kidding me? This is the biggest commodity of the Kansas City Chiefs. They're about to back the Brinks truck up to Pat Mahomes. They would not let him play if it would sacrifice any long term. And again, Jay Glazer put the stats out there Sunday. 40% chance of redislocation. Until after 21 days, that goes to 10 to 15%. Guy wants to play, and with guys like that, it's hard not to let them play. Pat Mahomes gives you your best chance to win. Not only that, he's a gamer that wants to play. I do feel that the time is right. He's had a couple of weeks. Obviously, that ankle's feeling well. He's dancing around everywhere. Let Pat Mahomes play.
I'm just glad he didn't Kendrys Morales himself on that celebration.
Oh, that was terrible.
Oh, that's, yes.
He did the right thing. Even Harrison Butker, you know, get away,
Butker,
Pat.
Butker was smart.
He was. I mean, people don't realize that, but Butker, special teams player of the week, give him some more credit for not letting Pat Mahomes tackle him.
Exactly.
There, because he would have done it. But as far as the Chiefs in the schedule, are they really about to go on a roll? Here's what Colin Cowherd, that's sometimes been very critical of the Kansas City Chiefs at times. He loves football. In the Colin Cowherd show, he talked about the Chiefs about to go on a roll.
Folks, they've played a tough schedule. They played Minnesota's defense. They played Green Bay, Indianapolis, Baltimore. Some of these games with a backup quarterback, and they're in first place. And they're getting Patrick Mahomes back, and they just got Chris Jones back. And did you see how well he played? Okay, now they're getting healthy. Now Patrick's coming back. Now Chris Jones is back. He's their best defensive player and their best offensive player. I think when you start looking at their schedule, they've lost a left tackle, their best offensive lineman, and a quarterback. And this team, in every game, that Minnesota win on Sunday, that was impressive with a guy that was coaching high school football last year, Matt Moore. I like Kansas City, and they're about to go on a roll.
He's not the only one. Tony Gonzalez, everybody's favorite ex-tight end, except when he's talking about Chiefs fans. This is what Tony G, the Hall of Famer, had to say about the Chiefs. This is on Fox.
Kansas City Chiefs right now, with them on offense, doing what they've been able to do so far. We know about the weapons, but it's the defense that I'm excited about and what I saw today. Chris Jones, he gets my game ball today because if he can play the way he did today, putting pressure on that quarterback, and with Frank Clark coming back, this is a team, I'm going to say it right now, I think they're going to play in the Super Bowl this year. They will beat New England. They won't lose another game this year.
Wow. Tony G, expect the Chiefs to go on a roll. Not only that, how about this from Tress Paylor, who's on with The Drive yesterday with Fesco in the morning on Thursday, and, of course, the Tress Paylor show, 6 o'clock. This Tress, it's a national guy, but he lives here locally. He's got a real strong tie, the former Kansas City Chiefs beat writer for the Kansas City Star and, of course, Yahoo Sports now. So he's got the national plus local. I think he's one of the best in the business when it comes to Chiefs information because he lives here.
You know, during my years covering this team under Andy, they consistently have put together a really strong end to the season. And I can see that being the case again this year, you know, where they string a bunch of wins together and, you know, might only have one loss. And if you do that, you know, that's a 12-14, which makes this, a team in contention to get the number 2 seed and possibly the number 1 seed. You know, it depends on how the Patriots do down the stretch.
That's the thing. It looked bleak, but the number 2 seed is in play. So when you're thinking about Mahomes playing or not, it's imperative. You know, this weekend's game was more important than people want to give it credit for. The Chargers are feeling themselves, as I mentioned, 422 yards of offense, holding the Green Bay Packers to 184. Damn impressive. And we'll say the Chiefs had lost to the Vikings. Close game, we'll say they lost. They went to 5-4, 6-3 right now, going to win their fourth straight AFC West. Oakland's at 4-4. Chargers are 4-5. Denver's 3-6, don't worry about it. But the Raiders and the Chargers would technically be just one game behind the Kansas City Chiefs. It did become important. Now, could the Chiefs run the table? I mean, the Titans this weekend, you got to like the Chiefs in this one. Versus the Chargers, Mexico City. Give me the Chiefs, even though the Chargers feeling themselves a little bit. Raiders at home? Come on now. Let's not be silly. At the Patriots? And again, the Patriots lose to the Ravens. Ravens just jammed it down their throats. They did. And it's a different style of play than the Chiefs because the Chiefs are going to use Mahomes. The Ravens, they went on the ground attack. They ran for over 200 yards, and Lamar just threw for 162. But that's how they play football. They play smash-mouth football, beat the New England Patriots. Everything is in play. The Mahomes-Brady matchups have been extremely close. So much so As I've said before, I think the whole narrative would have been, had the Chiefs knocked the Patriots off in the postseason, would have been, is Tom Brady done? Is the dynasty over? But again, I caution you. 2014, the Patriots hammerjacked by the Kansas City Chiefs 41-14. Then what happened? Super Bowl title. The Broncos, when they won a title back in 15, that 15 team, they got hammered during the regular season. Last year, the Patriots started 1-2, hammered by the Lions 26-10. Were they done? No, they put another ring on. Be cautious when talking about the New England Patriots. Come back a little bit more bad. Then you get the Broncos at home, at the Bears, which is a total clown show. They made it interesting against the Eagles in the second half. They only had 9 yards of total offense in the first half. Matt Nagy is a disciple of Andy Reid. He's the pupil. The teacher resides here, and he wears red. Then the Chargers at home. Very favorable schedule. You could run the table or maybe just lose one more. Say you lose the Patriots, you're still 12-4. The number two seed, everything is still in play for the Kansas City Chiefs. It's all on there on the table. But people talking about, can the Chiefs run the table? Yeah. I mean, find me a better quarterback in the NFL than Pat Mahomes. Not only that, can you imagine Pat Mahomes playing with the defense? You've heard me talk about it before. Going back to Texas Tech, 128th in scoring defense. There's only 128 Division I teams. Then there's 130 now. And then the fact that, you know, you go back to his high school days, his junior and senior year, he scored 50 and 60 respectively, still lost the game. He's finally got a defense that should have been stepping up when he was healthy. But they're stepping up now, and they're creating their own little identity. And they've been very good. We'll talk about how good this defense has been with Craig Stout at 8 o'clock, defensive film analyst, arrowheadpride.com. But coming up next, we talk to Yahoo Sports' very own Nick Bromberg. We talk some college football. Let's reminisce about that Sunflower beatdown last weekend. We do that next.
Being at night.
Welcome back to Bink at Night. Speaking of that text that got earlier from the Rockers fan, you know you can listen to all the games through the radio.com app or just listen to 1660 The Score. Mark Miller will have that Liberty North game on our sister station. Also, want to point out this too. I was talking about the podcast page. Bob Fesco is having these old interviews with the Chiefs players. And Mike Garrett was on, former AD, also the running back on the 65 Toss Power Trap, on demand, 610sports.com. But joining me now, as he's been doing lately, which I love talking college football with this guy, college football, NASCAR, you name it, this guy has you covered, and he's a Kansas City guy as well, at Nick Bromberg on Twitter from yahoosports.com. What's up, Nick?
What's going on, Ben? How are you?
Hey, we're doing good, my man. We're doing good, my man. You watching a little match tonight, or what?
Of course I've got Ohio okay. And Miami, Ohio on TV. It could be the game of bowl eligibility. I got to pay attention. You know, Miami, Ohio. Ohio's only 4-4. There's still 4 games left to play. So I think the winner of this game has a huge, obviously, step in the right direction for 6 wins. Because I think Miami, Ohio drops to 4-6 to loss.
That's why I like you, Nick, because you're a man of the people. You're a man of the action. By the way, the trophy's going to be there, too. I just saw the college football playoff tweet about that. You can go check it out if you're at that game.
I'm not going to lie. Toledo, Kansas State was a more entertaining game than Kansas Duke if you were a neutral and looking for entertaining football over ugly college basketball.
Well, good stuff. Miami and Miami of Ohio and Ohio 0-0 there in the Missouri basketball. Going to tip off as well. Plus, we got some hockey going on. St. Louis Blues playing. You know, I like Sounders. We'll have the Goalhorn Sounder if there's any score in that game. All right, Nick, let's talk about the Sunflower Showdown. We talked about how important this game was going to be for both coaches. Top 10 recruits in the state of Kansas that live in the state of Kansas. Kansas has none of them. They've got 11-12. Kansas State has 7-9-10. Top 3 recruits in the state, Nebraska, Minnesota, Minnesota. Do the kids change their mind after watching that beatdown the Wildcats put on the Jayhawks?
If I was a Minnesota recruiter, if I was a Kansas State recruiter telling a guy who's committed to Minnesota, hey, we've got 2 losses and are 1 spot higher in the college football playoff rankings than the Gophers are right now. I mean, absolutely, absolutely fantastic win for Kansas State. And to me, I'm surprised, quite frankly. I was expecting Kansas State, I think, kind of be in that 21-25 range. Last night when the rankings came out, the committee clearly likes the Wildcats. That win over Oklahoma has absolutely vaulted them up the standings because I was flat stunned when I saw them as high as they were in the rankings last night. You know, you build on this. This as an 8-win team, you say, hey, we can put this first year in the College Football Playoff top 25. You have the national championship winning coach at the FCS level. This is the season you build on, and I think it was always going to be a building block season. We didn't know how big that block was going to be. This is a massive, this is a box jump as far as I'm concerned with what Kansas State's doing. They look to be a fantastic man.
Well, Kansas State getting some love, 20th in the AP, and 22nd in the coaches' poll. I think the coaches got a little wrong. But the one that matters, the college football playoff rankings, the first one released last night from Madison Square Garden during the Kansas basketball. And Kansas State 16, and I think that's important because they're ranked ahead of undefeated Minnesota. So Kansas State starting to turn heads, and I'll be honest with you, Skylar Thompson, man, is putting this thing together. I mean, the way he's commanding the game, throwing the football, running the football, you know, heck, what, 7 rushing touchdowns the last 2 weeks, the guy seems to have it all put together.
He does. And, you know, you also contrast that, too, now with the way the TCU quarterback situation is unfolding. Skylar beats out Alex Delton in the end of last year. Delton ends up graduate transferring to TCU. Delton leaves the team this week. Delton
I saw that.
Because he would not, when TCU was cycling their quarterback last week, don't be in the game. So he said, I'm a fifth-year graduate transfer. I'm out. I'm done. TCU went from having 6 guys started buying for the starting out of the quarterback's winning season, and now they're basically trying to scream to figure out who's going to start this weekend against Baylor. But you're right. Skylar Thompson, we talked about this earlier this year, a guy who I think was going to be, you know, the serviceable starter for Kansas State. You could find an upgrade, sure, but you could also do a lot worse. We're now edging into territory where I think you can get excited about a quarterback showdown here in Farmageddon between Skylar Thompson and Brock Purdy, where, you know, Brock Purdy's gotten a lot of love with the way he played last year in Iowa State's fantastic season and also the issue with him playing. I don't think there's much separation when you get down to it between Brock Purdy and Skylar Thompson.
No, I'm actually looking forward to that game. The Wildcats, the thing that surprised me most, I get it. Oklahoma wins huge. Top 5 team, you beat them. Almost beat Baker Mayfield 2 years ago. But that Kansas game was big to me because it was in-state, and Kansas feeling themselves a little bit. First sellout since 2009, although a bunch of Kansas State fans were there. Now they go on the road to Texas. And, you know, Texas is a team that Kansas State does not fear. They don't fear anybody, but they definitely don't fear the University of Texas. K-State going one way, Texas going the other way. This is a big game for Texas to try to win against the Wildcats.
It is. And I hate talking about when you can always say, well, hey, look, you know, results from 5 years don't matter, especially in college football. But this is a situation where Kansas State goes there and wins the game, which I think they're absolutely capable of doing. You almost feel like your Texas, like, what does Kansas State have on us, given the dominance that Bill Snyder's Kansas State teams have shown over Texas over the last 2 years? And also, the Kansas State, you're 7-2. You're one step closer to a 9-win season, potentially, which is absolutely crazy to think about. And also, on the conference perspective, you got to think that the Big 12 is wanting Texas to win. And I'm not saying that in a, oh, gosh, Texas is going to get all the calls. I don't think I'd like to think that Texas is all the calls in the Big 12. No, what I'm referencing is Oklahoma needs the picture win when it comes to the college football playoff. They don't have them right now. Kansas State would potentially see the signature win along the lines of Texas. It's not. Texas is still a signature win. Sure, Oklahoma could end up being Baylor twice over the next 2 weeks, once in the regular season, once in the championship game. But Oklahoma at 9 needs teams to lose ahead of them. Otherwise, they're not making the playoff. And Texas dropping the 4 losses on the season hurts Oklahoma's case for strength of schedule even more.
University of Missouri had the bye week. It's been kind of rough for them lately. You lose to Vanderbilt, a bad Vanderbilt team. You lose to Kentucky to a wide receiver playing quarterback that we discussed last week. This week they face Georgia. And I'll say this. I go back to Saturday, October 12th, 2013. I know that Arkansas is kind of the man-made rivalry for the University of Missouri, and I know that with Kansas will be on that schedule on the horizon. But to me, the ultimate rival in the conference for Missouri is Georgia. Because that Georgia game back in 2013 and Gary Pinkel, when they go down there and win at Georgia, convincing win 41-26, that kind of spearheaded back-to-back SEC title games for them. So I don't sneeze ever at the Georgia-Missouri game. This is what Missouri's got nothing to lose. That's why Georgia should be concerned.
Yeah, you know, it's a matchup of two of the only three teams to win the East since Missouri has joined the conference. And, you know, Mizzou, Kelly Bryant, obviously, that is a huge variable. If he does not play, I think the Tigers are in real trouble here. If Bryant plays and he can move around, I think you can't have a stationary Kelly Bryant because we all know that Kelly Bryant is at best when he's in a defense way. Be the threat as both a runner and a passer. Missouri, you also had the chance to get Georgia off of a letdown game. That's real. That is a real factor in college football because you could sense last week, you know, this is a Georgia team, that former Georgia rivalry, by the way, it's crazy. You go back 12 years, they have cycled now. Georgia got three wins, and now Georgia picked up its third straight win over Florida on Saturday. You could kind of feel that Georgia got its mojo back, but it's also to beat Florida. Because to beat Florida, yet the playoff chances were toast. Georgia doesn't win that game. Georgia's chances at the East are probably toast if Georgia doesn't win that game. Now, not to mention Florida basically by two games, you know, up the East, quite frankly, with the win over Missouri. You lose to Missouri, things are still kind of in play, but you're still riding high off that Florida loss. It wouldn't surprise me if Georgia comes out flat a little bit, especially in the first half of this game. I do think the Bulldogs game is probably going to be making some call talent out of the field. But also, that said, if what we saw from Georgia's offense against Florida on Saturday, with Jake Fromm being able to throw down the field, Aaron Cager getting open, that third down completion late in the game to tight end Deion Lewis, if that's real and we're not just a flash in the pan, I think Georgia's actually a serious college football playoff contender going forward.
Talking to Nick Bromberg, YahooSports.com, covers NASCAR and college football. Yesterday was the first release of the college football playoff rankings. They'll have one each and every Tuesday until the final Sunday, December 8th, where they have the college football selection show. All right, number one, Ohio State. Number two, LSU. Number three, Bama. Number four, Penn State. Two Big Ten teams. Two SEC teams. Two of those, an SEC showdown this weekend, Alabama, LSU. Did the committee get it right with these four? Because Clemson's at five, but I look at nothing on these because these can move around and will move around like crazy.
Yeah, you know, part of me, as we talked about last week, I wasn't going to be surprised if Ohio State ended up two. They ended up being number one. Part of me kind of wanted the committee to say, hey, look, let's put Alabama one and LSU one and two in some order just so we can have the one versus two matchup officially. I realize we're going to have that in the AP poll. We're not going to have it in the college football playoff rankings. I am more surprised by Ohio State at one than I was at Clemson at five. I think the case for Clemson at five is pretty straightforward at this point. Because simply of the new doctrine of the ACC, Clemson has not played Wake Forest. Wake Forest is the only other ACC team in the college football playoff top 25. Clemson will play and Clemson will beat them. It'll be straightforward. Tigers keep winning. They're going to make the playoff. An undefeated major Power 5 conference champion is not going to miss out on the playoff. And also, another reason why Clemson Bears don't have to worry is you have the 2-3 matchup on Saturday with Alabama and LSU in the first game of the century. And then, in a few weeks, if Ohio State and Penn State keep winning,
yep. We've
got a 1-4 showdown.
23rd.
With the Nittany Lions going to Ohio State. So we are essentially looking at potentially two semifinals for the college football playoff. That's fantastic for college football.
Yeah, it's going to be in 1-3, and of course they can't both go because they're on the same side of the bracket in the Big Ten Conference. So somebody's not going to be playing in the Big Ten Championship. That's why that game is going to be so important, is Ohio State and Penn State. And I don't think they get the run that LSU. I don't think LSU or Alabama are out of the playoffs despite who loses.
That's the funny thing. I think Alabama could maybe be out because of the way the Alabama schedule lines up. And the reason why they're at three is because they don't have to win the LSU pass. The nightmare situation for the committee is, and this is the chaos, I think as a college football chaos person, I would love this to happen. It's the endless thing to write about. Alabama beats LSU on Saturday. Penn State
Northeast Ohio State on November 23rd. Penn State wins the East, Alabama wins the West, LSU and Ohio State, the top two teams in these first rankings with signature wins, finish the season at 11-1. And you've got 12-1 Alabama, 12-1 Penn State, you've got an undefeated Clemson, and you've got 11-1 LSU, 11-1 Ohio State. Whoever comes out of the Pac-12, maybe with one win, and then a one-loss Oklahoma. Good luck trying to figure out your top six in that.
Great stuff once again. The great Nick Bromberg from Yahoo Sports. Give him a follow on Twitter at Nick Bromberg. Also at Yahoo Sports CFB for college football. If you want your college football and NASCAR fix, which some of you do, the text line blowing up. They like some Nick Bromberg. Always appreciate it, my man.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
There you go. Nick Bromberg right there. Huge game. Alabama, LSU. Tua looks like he's a go at quarterback for Bama. This recruiting class at Alabama is so ridiculous. 2017 class. Could have the number one pick. Seven players from that recruiting class could be drafted in the first round. I looked at Matt Miller's mock, his first mock. Seven players from the same recruiting class. Seven from the first round. It's unbelievable recruiting class. And that's not including like Najee Harris and Devontae Smith. I mean, guys, that'll be second, third, or fourth or fifth round with Najee. I don't know where he's going to end up going. But Devontae Smith's a speedster. He'll definitely go. That's going to be a good game. Then November 23rd. Is he saying Penn State versus Ohio State? That could be 1-3 because someone's going to drop out. Alabama, LSU, someone's going to take that slot. And I think Alabama likes being behind LSU, likes to play at home against a team ahead of him. Nick Saban loves this type of stuff. We talked to Craig Stout, defensive film analyst, arrowheadpride.com at 8 o'clock as we talk Chiefs defense. But coming up next, let's make fun of Cleveland, shall we? The Cleveland Browns. Let's make fun of them. All right, we'll do that next.
Bing at night.
Welcome back to Big and I, Jay Binkley. Kramer, the Crame Dog, producing the operation. 1-0 Edmonton now. If you're St. Louis Blues fan, which I know there's quite a few of them here in the area. Just so you know, we will keep you updated because I love score sounds. We did during the baseball playoffs. We try to get a sounder indigenous to the area. Well, there's no reason for that in hockey. If Blues score, you're going to hear this. Come on,
don't
Kramer.
Don't you love it when your desktop is freezing right
That's
there?
That's all right.
Oh, no, you know, here we go.
All right. There we go, Kramer. You know, they got these horns. I almost bought one. But it's like a lamp, like a goal lamp. And no matter, you can set it in your house wherever you want, hang it on the wall, whatever you want. You set it to your favorite hockey team. Whenever they score, it'll go off. So let's say that your significant other wants to watch something else, and you find yourself in one of those deals. Because
right.
Who wants to watch a Bachelorette and that crap? You want to watch hockey? I get it, or Maction, but the sounder goes off or the horn goes off.
I need one of these, like bad.
So whenever the Blues score, any hockey team you're a fan of, you set it to your favorite team. When you have a score, you'll have that. I do like this stuff. Fun with audio. We all remember Fesco's great meltdown, about 2012 in the Kansas City Chiefs. This is from Ken Carman. He's with our sister station, 92.3 in Cleveland. He's had enough of the Cleveland Browns. And keep in mind, Ken like does pregame and a lot of stuff for the Cleveland Browns. They keep letting him down, down and down and down. There was going to be promise. OBJ, Jarvis Landry, you got Baker Mayfield. Here's the Heisman Trophy winner. Showed some promise last year. I did like Baker this year. It's not been the same. Here's Ken Carman's meltdown.
I said what I said. And it's my freaking fault for having any faith whatsoever in you. I should never, ever do it again. I should never have faith ever again. I should line up and be like the predecessors before me and be nasty and mean-spirited and angry over the entire thing every single time we watch out one of these quarterbacks that will hopefully take us from the hell that we have created for ourselves throughout this entire time and have us have this happen yet again. More saviors, more societies, the same damn actions, the same thing. The emperor no longer has clothes, and I am a shell of myself. Today's the day where things change. So after this screaming and after this yelling, I'm sorry, because it's 6:20 in the morning, I'm gonna lay here and I'm gonna take it. If you got something to yell at the Browns, you yell at them. You got something to yell at Baker Mayfield or John or Freddie Kitchens, you go ahead and let it off your chest. If you got something to say to me, you go ahead and say it. Because I made a guarantee that I'm personally responsible for. I have let myself down. I have let you down. I have let everybody down. So for the next 3 hours and 40 minutes, you got something to say to me, you go right on ahead. You will not get anything back from me. I got it coming to me because I'm a damn fool for having any faith whatsoever in this train wreck. Goodbye.
Ken Carmen does the morning show in Cleveland. It's live on the radio. Loved it. Loved the passion. Football brings out the passion. I get it. But he's tired of the Cleveland Browns. And why wouldn't you be? You go through head coaches, GMs all the time. You think it's – they have this mannequin in downtown Cleveland. It's got all the different quarterbacks and their name marked off. I'll never forget Mike Polk Jr., who's a comedian. He's also a Cleveland Browns season ticket holder. He wrote this back in 2012, The Factory of Sadness.
Do you understand that it is actually statistically harder for a team to be this consistently bad than it is for them to occasionally accidentally be good?
The probability is staggering. Did you happen to see that Packers-Chargers game today? It's like they're playing a different sport than you are.
And here's what you have to understand. We don't even expect you to be good. We just want you to be watchable. Do you have any idea how low our expectations are? We don't expect you to win the Super Bowl. We just want you to look better than a Division III high school team.
And listen, I know that there are way more important things in life than football, but you are supposed to be our pleasant distraction from those things.
But all we do is pay you money to put us in a bad mood every week.
You are a factory of sadness!
I'll see you Sunday.
Mike Polk Jr., I'll see you Sunday. You're a factory of sadness. That's what we all are, right? We get mad. We're like, hey, we'll see you Sunday, right? See you Sunday.
Pretty much.
No, I love it, man. Cleveland Browns meltdowns are great. I love it. It couldn't get any better. I mean, they've even done like Christmas albums and stuff with how bad the team is. I mean, just like this. This is Cleveland fans, man. They just can't get over this stuff.
Just in time for the holidays, we present to you a Very Angry Browns Fan Christmas, a superb record collection featuring Cleveland holiday classics. Just listen.
You know Campbell and Hoyer, Tim Couch, Kelly Holcomb, Dilfer, Garcia, McCown, and Ty Detmer. But do you recall the oldest rookie of all? Whedon, the red-haired QB.
I can't do this anymore. I can't make fun of Cleveland anymore. By the way, that goal sounder is the St. Louis Blues scored once again and again. When I'm doing a show, I will do sounders of my favorite teams. It's that easy. We have a surprise guest that has called in. He is host of the Puckett. With a P, podcast, 610sports.com. It's very dangerous to say, and I apologize. Finger on the dump button just in case I screwed up. His name is Jason Ketz, and he works with our sister station, 98.1 FM. He has called in the hotline because he wants to talk hockey. What's up, Ketz?
Well, yeah. I mean, hockey is the greatest sport that was ever created on Earth.
Let's not get crazy. Football. It's behind football, but it's awesome. I love hockey.
Now, Binkley, you mentioned about Maxson. You keeping tabs on Julian Ross, the Staley alum?
That's right. I'm keeping track on it, you know. They beat Kansas a few years ago with a quarterback from Richmond and a running back from Staley. Long live Maxson.
Well, long live the Staley Falcons, too. But, no, you called about, you know, you were talking about how, you know, you're St. Louis Blues. And, look, I get it how, you know. Look,
first place, Cats, Stanley Cup champions, Cats.
They are the defending Stanley Cup champions. I know Kramer is probably.
Oh, hell yeah, brother.
Confident a bit back there.
Oh, he's rocking the Blues gear.
He is rocking the Blues gear. Look, I will say that is a hardworking man there. He's been manning a bunch of different roles at the building. But, no, I mean, look, now that we've turned the calendar to the month of November, I think now with the – you know, the weather changing, it's getting a little bit colder, although today it was pretty nice. Like, we're going to get 20s later on this week. But
finally,
it is
finally,
now
finally.
Hockey weather.
Give
it
me some hockey weather.
Hockey weather, Binkley.
I know, I love it.
This is, look, I'm just going to come out and say this. Look, the Kansas City Mavericks right now, for those who don't know, yes, we do have a hockey team here in town. They play out at the Independence Event Center. Look, this is a crucial weekend for this team. I mentioned it on the Puckett podcast earlier this week. They drop every Monday except for, look, next Monday the Mavericks are at home, and I'm getting to that point here in just a second. But, look.
This when are you going to have me on again?
We can do it on Tuesday. You want to roll on
Tuesday?
That's
fine. Let's do it.
All right, let's bet. Although I do have a special guest that we'll drop that episode at some point as well. But special guest from somebody that all Maverick fans will certainly know the name. Not going to give any more details.
Why don't you get Ken Morrow on? He won a Stanley Cup and four rings. Or no, and four Stanley Cups and one gold.
It would be more fitting if the Mavericks were still affiliated with the New York Islanders, which is obviously the team that Kenny Morrow won four straight Stanley Cups. Now he's the only American-born player to win a gold medal and a Stanley Cup in the same calendar year, basically.
He won four. I mean, he's relatively few Americans. What Jordan's done it, Kobe's done it. I mean, relatively few have won a gold medal and four championships.
All right. So just to make sure I know, it's 1-1 St. Louis Edmonton?
1-1. 1-1. Yes. I got to let you kids, because I got to talk football here. You know what, though? I want to bring you on and talk some hockey. Is that fair?
Let's talk some hockey.
All right, let's talk.
You have my number, buddy.
I got your number. Thanks for calling in, Katz. Appreciate it.
No worries.
There you go, Jason Katz right there. He likes hockey, and his podcast is outstanding, 435 Podcast Network. You can see Jason Katz. Not many people talk hockey in this town. He talks hockey. He talks a lot of hockey, and it's always fun to have Ketzer. Used to be known as intern around here. Let's turn our attention to the Kansas City Chiefs defense. I know I've been playing around with the Browns a little bit and stuff like that. Let's talk about positives. Kansas City Chiefs defense with Craig Stout, ArrowheadPride.com next.
Big at night.
Plus. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.